Welcome to the Global Mission Sync podcast. This week's episode features Doug Witter with part two of a message called Your Ministry is Your Cross.
Getting back to my conversation with this dear brother, I mentioned about the possibility of some young men maybe having to help shoulder the responsibilities of the church, how they might have to move or go here and there. And he said, well, you could never expect a young man to leave his wife and family and be gone for too many days. It's not a pleasant thing, but take up your cross and follow him. Why am I saying this, young people? I want you to see the glory of the office that God has for you. But there is a cross that must be borne. Some of these dear brethren, and they may really take me to task over this, but I'm going to say it. I often wonder sometimes if you really know what some of these dear brethren have had to go through over the years. Be gone for weeks on end and leave a wife with a sick child, maybe two of them or three of them. When you're in a foreign country, you just don't phone and say, come home. Because they don't know where you are, for one thing. And you just can't come home when you feel like it, for another. Take up thy cross and follow me. I remember on one occasion where it really got home to me personally. I had been away for quite off and on, home and then gone and home and then gone, just for short periods of time. And I come home and I got word that I was to go again. And I'll never forget Wendell as long as I live. He came to me and he said, Daddy, do you have to go? Can't somebody else go? No, somebody else couldn't go. Dad had to go. Take up thy cross and follow me. Young men tonight, are you willing to bear that cross? Young woman, are you willing to bear that cross? Someday you may have to. When you're making a choice of a young woman, young man, hear me. I hope that you're not just looking at the exterior. Because if my wife had done that, I'd have never been married. But there's more to making that choice of your life partner than what meets the eye. And may I say this, it reaches far beyond the physical. I do not know what I would do tonight if I didn't have a wife that understood me. And I know you'll say amen to that. My friend down here often tells her, this friend down here with the overcoat on, he says, Sister Witter, we're going to give you a little peace and quietness. We're sending your husband to Korea. But I do not know what I would do if God hadn't helped me to make the right choice, little realizing at that time what the future held, that one day we would bear the responsibility that God has entrusted to us. If I went home and she said, "Oh, it's you." Or when I left, there was an argument or some sort of disruption or eruption or whatever you want to call it because I was going again. You dear women, my heart has often gone out to you. It's been far harder on you than it has been on us. But take up your cross and follow him. But joy in fulfilling the will of God far surpasses anything else. The Word of God tells a man that he should desire the office of a bishop or of an elder. There is nothing wrong with you desiring that office. Whether God ever entrusts you with the office or not, that is entirely up to him. But there's nothing wrong with you desiring it. I remember Brother Wager and I always liked the way Brother, this man down here, Texas, Crawford, says, "Brother Wager, keep it up." I like that. Wager. Don't ever call him Wager or he'll get mad at you. And I remember we were in a certain place where a local church was in the making. And we knew that there were some that were striving for the office. And we knew besides that, that God never intended them to hold the office. So I thought what Brother Wager said to them, we gathered all the men together and talked to them. And he said something of this, like this to them, that every one of you should seek God concerning the office, but God will make the choice. If you are not an elder or a deacon, I'll say this kindly, maybe you should thank God. But you must desire that office. And if you're going to desire that office, you must allow the Spirit of God to make the necessary preparations in your life, in your home, in everything that involves you, to bear that responsibility. We usually like to sit down with those that God seems to indicate, with the husband and the wife, and talk to them about the office. I remember Brother Wager telling me on one occasion, he talked to two couples, and after he was finished talking to them, one of them said, "I didn't realize there was so much involved in being an elder." There is a lot involved in being an elder. There is a lot involved in being a traveling deacon. There are adjustments that will have to be made in your home life. When you would like to be off at the lake, zooming around on the lake, do you ever wake up Sunday morning when it's nice and bright? Not a leaf moving on the tree. And you see that old boat sitting out there alongside of the garage. What I would advise you to do is start singing, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding his sin. It would be much easier just to hook it on behind the car and hit for the closest lake. But if you have the responsibility of eldership, or if you are a deacon in the church, your place is there, not at the lake. Well, now we've got the elders and deacons straight. Now we're going to turn on the members. It can be a temptation for you, but your place is in the household of God. Now we believe in vacations. But if you're in a place where there is a local church, you should be there. But there is a responsibility. And coming back to the members of the local church, you have actually an equal responsibility in the functioning of your ministry than what that elder and deacon has, or that traveling elder or deacon. You have been taught from day one that meeting depends as much upon you as it does upon the elders or upon the deacons or upon the brethren that may come to visit you. There are times when we may go to an assembly, you will never know what a tremendous spiritual lift you can give to stand up and operate that ministry that God has given you. We leave many times with more than what we left behind, I am sure. So there is a cross that must be borne. If we're going to enter in through this door. You haven't the license, my dear young people. Hear me, please. And all of you. There is no place in the Church of the Living God for social drinking. We have had, not recently, thanks be to God, but I'm going to say it, we have had reports that sometimes young people have got together for one function or another and had a little wine or something like that. We would far rather you refrain from any appearances of evil. You don't need that thing to have a good time. I have never been at a beer party. Well, I guess that's good enough. Yet, and I haven't any intentions of starting now. But these things are the things that will snare you. These are the things that will eventually rob you of your crown. And prohibit you from entering into this open door. What does the scripture say? It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing there. He has told us. We are sure, people. I know I speak for the brethren tonight. We are sure that we stand on the threshold of the birth of a new day. What that day will hold, I could not begin to tell you. But God has told us that there is an open door. And the way I felt about it as I thought of it throughout the day and yesterday, for you young men and young women, there is that open door that is before you tonight. that I pray all the preaching that I will ever do or anyone will ever do will never bring you to that point of honest decision. But I want you to realize tonight, if you are ever going to bear the responsibility of the Church of the Living God, you must be willing to take up your cross and follow Him. Hallelujah. You must refrain from a lot of these things that are in the earth. I'll tell you something else that I think is a little bit too free and easy. And that is swearing. If you want something to to go by, there is no way that I could ever picture my Lord drinking whiskey, rocking and rolling, swearing, and doing all manner of evil things. I know they say damn when it's over a river, but leave it there. I've got to the place myself where I'm kind of watching even slang. Why? We've come to a place of separation. We've come to a place of dedication. We've come to a place, dear people of God, where we must sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Don't live in that gray zone. Listen to what it says. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There's nothing I despise more than a lukewarm drink of water. Either give it to me boiling or cold. Are you willing to take up that cross? Are you willing to bear and despise and shame that maybe that ministry will bring to you? Are you ready to make those adjustments in your life? We have all had to make them. I love to see progress. And I don't think it's altogether justifiable to think that everybody has to go through the things that you and I went through in order to live. It'd be rather foolish, as far as I'm concerned, if my wife still washed clothes with a scrub board. Anybody here that doesn't know what a scrub board is, put your hand up. Well, there's one, and he's married. I asked our son that one day, and he didn't know either. And I said to my wife, what have we raised? Well, a scrub board is a one-horse washing machine. Only your wife is the horse. And she goes scrubbing like this. Scrubba, scrubba, scrubba. She sings while she does it. I wouldn't want to go back to that. But I'd much rather have that and be where God wants me than the automatic and not where He wants me. I can remember Brother York pulling into these grounds in a whole different setup of a car than what he has today. He come in once in a little minus Minor, is it? Morris? I think he sat in the back seat to drive it. And he had his wife and his two children and their bags. There was more hanging on the outside of the car than inside the car. But he made it. I'm not telling you you've all got to drive an old Morris Minor, whatever the name of the stupid thing is. But don't let these things rob you of your crown. There were times, you know, for these dear brethren here didn't know what a salary was. You may go to a place, and because of the goodness of their heart, all they could give you was $15. You had to buy your gasoline to get to the next place, and you had a wife and three children at home to feed as well. We've never had it so good. The reason I'm telling you that is there's a cross to be borne. If you want lots of money, if you want to live in the finest homes and drive the finest cars, if you set your affection on those things, you will miss what God has designed for your life. I'm not saying anything against it. Like one of the brethren said the other night, if you can afford to drive two Cadillacs, a powder blue one and a pink one for your wife, that's fine with me. But don't let it rob you of your crown. Don't let it stand between you and your God. But take up your cross and follow him. There is that separation. And I'm going to touch on one more thing. I might as well throw off the whole load. It has been mentioned concerning television. And you have a button on it, which I hope you've learned to use. But I would really, young people, think twice about the theater. You can read it on the billboard about some picture that's going to be showing in the theater downtown. And it may sound good, but you can never tell what's in the inside of a book by its cover. I have found that out by just looking at the newsstand. I really don't think there's much need for you to be spending time in these places that are so closely connected and associated with the Word. It may be a good picture, but again, it may not be. And if you're Scotch, you'll see it through. Rather than waste your money. But some of these things, I mention them to you for this reason. There is a door that stands before you tonight, as it does for every one of us here. And it's going to cost us something to go into it. I read to you here concerning the pillars of the church. I am sure that all these brethren and your elders will agree that we enjoy the company of the cream of the crop when it comes to young men and young women. And I am not standing here scolding you tonight, not for one moment. But I know there are things that I am going to have to sincerely face if I'm going to enter into this door. And so will you. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy rob you of your crown. Take up your cross and follow him. It'll affect your life in many ways. You may have to give up some friends. You may have to give up someone that you're deeply in love with. But these choices you must make if you're going to follow him. Oh, you could go along and be a Christian. We were talking about this the other day. You know, we're not the only Christians in the world. I hope you know that. And as Brother Crawford ministered to us last night, there is that company upon which the Spirit of the living God rests tonight. And he is preparing for sonship. He will be different than anything else on the face of God's earth. You're queer enough now to the world. But don't let that bother you. He was despised. He was rejected. He was misunderstood. And he walked in loneliness, I am sure, many times. But there was one desire on the heart of our Master, and that is that he might do the will of him that sent him. That choice lies with you and I tonight. Young man, young woman, may God give you the courage to make that kind of dedication. That you'll be willing to sacrifice if needs be. These temporal, transitory things in order that you might fulfill the ministry that God has ordained for your life. There is nothing more gratifying, hear me, than having known that you have done the will of God. All of the praise of men could never satisfy that inward expression of his divine approval when you have fulfilled his will. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. It's a serious hour that we live in. God ever calls you to be a traveling deacon, oh, as I've said, you'd think it would be wonderful traveling here, traveling there, staying in motels. I could write a book on beds. and I would fill one chapter with a waterbed. I was seasick all night. I got into it and I couldn't get out of it. My wife had to literally push me out of it. I slept in a bed in Seattle, Washington once. It was like the ejection seat in a jet. If you roll the right way, you were standing straight up. It had a way of kind of throwing you out, spewing you out. I remember being with Brother Berg at a camp meeting. They gave us a pillow. You remember that? Jacob's pillow wasn't anything like that one. When you laid down with that pillow, you were half sitting up. It was as hard as a stone. Sleeping places were little furry things. Pick up your false teeth and run away with them during the night. You can laugh, that's the truth. I had to go to that place after that, and I slept with the lights on. Half chicken soup. With the head floating around in the bottom of it. Crop and all. Oh, it's wonderful. I'm preparing you for the mission field. There's nothing more glorious than doing His will. What's a few heads in the soup? What's wrong with chasing your false teeth? Rats have run away with them. I've often thought that would have been some rat to see the next morning. See, can't you just see him smiling? Excuse my foolishness. But may God help us that we may take up our cross and follow. Young men and young women, I say this sincerely on the behalf of all of the brethren and our wives. We love you with an everlasting love. And your elders, who are the appointment of God, I can assure you, have your best interests upon their hearts. And though sometimes they have to make decisions which go contrary to the thing that you desire, please ask God for grace to hear what they are saying. It's very difficult to sit down with a young man. I remember a young man and a young woman coming to me a few years back, and he was part of this wonderful body that we so much enjoy. The young lady that he was thinking of marrying, they were thinking of getting married. She wasn't walking this way. She was a lovely girl, a beautiful girl. She was a Christian. No doubt about it. But she felt, well, she would go with him on Sunday morning, and then he would go with her on Sunday night. That will never work. Never. I felt sorry for that girl. She wept, and I could have wept with her. But I knew that the truth had to be spoken. She had to know that if she wanted a home that would be filled with happiness and set firmly upon the foundation that God has laid, she was going to have to take up that cross and follow it. You may say, well, we'll work those things out after. You better have them worked out before. There is nothing so wonderful than the plan of God. There is nothing that brings stability in a home and in your life as young people like the order of God. That order must never become bondage, or it ceases to be the order of God. But we must delight to do His will. I was maybe a little hard on you young mothers. I don't want to be. But please, 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 don't let anyone rob you of being a mother to the fullest degree. Yeah, you may be able to have that new washing machine if you went out and worked for a while. Maybe you could take that trip to Europe and leave the children with Grandma. But the greatest investment that you will ever make is in those little tykes that's at your feet right now. I remember when Marjorie Bell Beckett was knee-high to a grasshopper. She was a hopper, I'll tell you. I can remember when her husband spit right in my eye. Held him up. He was the slobberiest kid you ever saw. I held him up like that, and he let loose. Dead center. And I was happy to hear one day that his own boy returned the favor not long ago. It thrills me to know that these young men and women are still with us. That in itself speaks very loudly about the order of the home. It thrills my heart when I hear your sons and your daughters prophesy. It's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We used to speak concerning the last days years ago. Didn't have much evidence of them being the last days, really. But in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will start to prophesy. wonderful thing. Young man, young woman, do you want that gift to grow? Do you want that ministry to fulfill in you what God intends it to fill in you? Then take up your cross and follow Him. He requires it of us all. We have two young men here from the Caribbean that are traveling deacons that bear the responsibility of all those islands. Those same two young men will be going to Africa soon to spend 6 weeks to 2 months visiting some of the churches, not in the big centers, but back there in the backside of the desert, bearing this glorious gospel of the kingdom. I never find leaving home easy. And the older I get, the harder it becomes. I thought I'd get used to it eventually, but it seems to get harder rather than easier. There's one night in my life I always dread, and that's the night before I leave to go to Africa or wherever, where you know that you'll be gone for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, 8 months, whatever. Take up your cross and follow Him. It's got to be done. Are we willing? Are you ready to bear that responsibility? We need you. God needs you. You are more than able if you're willing to make the consecration. I hope I have not spoken in a way tonight that will sound as though I have been scolding you, because I have not meant it at all for that. But I have felt in my heart for months that I would love in some way that the Spirit of God help us all to see the task that is before us and the necessity of us taking up our cross and following Him.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.